flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Welcome in on a Tuesday. People, I have to tell you, I was very, very close to a dream coming true. And no, we're going to get to the Lions. We're going to get to all of the football things, but I stumbled on something last night, and I thought, oh my God, I've got Rico dead to effing rights. No one has slandered the sport of horse racing more than Rico Beard. No one has had more patronizing, disingenuous, sarcastic, and self-congratulatory commentary as Mr. Rico Beard. So last night, before bed, as I'm apt to do, and I pop the sleepy time gummy, and I'm laying in bed like Dracula, I will cruise the YouTube and just, you know, YouTube offers suggestions like, hey, friend, you seem to be interested in this. And naturally, for me, a lot of it is horse racing. And I saw a race I go to a lot, and it was the 1992 Florida Derby. Now, what would this have to do with Rico, you say? I'm glad you asked, friend.
Is this in Sarasota?
No. Once again, I honestly, if the ceiling collapsed and took us both out, I would take that deal because at least I know it got you. Okay. So look, what does this have to do with Rico? Well, 1992, a little known musical artist from Oakland, California, had gotten into horse racing. And he owned a horse that was racing in the Florida Derby. That little-known artist was a gentleman named MC Hammer. That horse was named Dance Floor.
Uh-huh. I remember that.
And Rico's cousin was one of Hammer's confidants at the height of Hammer's success, the venerable Benito, who we've joked about time and again. Well, as I clicked on the video, it wasn't just the race. It was the ABC Wide World of Sports complete presentation, including Tom Rinaldi-style background pieces on owners and sob stories. And here's MC Hammer and his entourage. We got MC Hammer shirtless at Belmont Park with 15 people around him going, oh my God, if Benito's in this video. Then they interview the whole Hammer clan. And then they show him live at Gulfstream Park in 1992. Hammer head to toe in a ketchup red suit. Red shoes, red tie, people around him. I go, I swear to Christ, if Benito is in either of these, we have got a blood link that Rico Beard's family has participated in horse racing. And I had Rico comb the video. And I want to give Rico credit. He could have been dismissive. He could have lied. But David was sitting over his left shoulder. I was sitting over his right. And David said, God will know if you lie. Rico combed these videos in slow motion. And alas, Benito was not there.
It was close.
One
of the bodyguards who looks like him, I was like, nah, it's Hammer's
actual bodyguard.
You
rewound it twice. Yeah. I was so excited.
Yeah.
But there was something charming about Too Legit to Quit as background music for a horse running.
Yeah.
And I want to say I'm a little bit heartbroken.
Sorry, buddy.
Because I could have sent you the video, but I went, no, this will give him a chance to lie or corroborate with Benito.
Why would I do that?
Because you could never admit your family likes horse racing.
I like horse racing.
Oh.
Mike, all jokes aside, here's the beauty of horse racing.
Oh, here comes a joke about Nabans.
No, it is not. That's Evan.
Oh, okay. Oh, is this the one where the horses wear Air Jordans?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
Evan really had me believing, like, they wear chains on their feet. I was like, for real? He's like, and then I was like, Mike, do they? And he's just cracking up. And
is this
like,
another one of your endless jokes about horses wearing tattoos or branding shaved into their skin?
The beauty of horse racing is that the races are so quick that you can get into it whether you really are into horse racing or not. So you know what? You pick a number, you pick a color, you pick a jockey, you pick something that reminds you of your childhood, and you just root for it. And it makes no sense whatsoever.
Makes total sense.
But for 3 minutes, you're just like, okay, that was the name of my old street that I grew up.
My investigation into Rico Beard and his lineage continues. We begin today's show.
I showed you the song.
Also, Benito was really belting out a tune in that video you showed me. The idea that Hammer ripping off his shirt in the winner circle of Belmont Park Theater. I will be combing. You know, Hammer had another good horse. A horse named Light Light.
Oh.
She won the Kentucky Oaks, which is the female version of the Derby. Let me find a video of the 91 Oaks, and you let me see Benito there. It's over. You're done. I'm going to get
know.
You. There was a movie, I'm going to get you, sucker. That's exactly my words to you.
Okay.
I am going to, and
nice
let
reference.
Me find a young R.L. Beard at the track. You show me Rico in Hammer's entourage at the track. It's over.
Okay. You know what, Mike? You. If you find it, I'll take you to the store, and I'll buy you one rib.
I'm on to you. That's all I'm saying.
Just
all right.
One rib.
David.
How much for a cup? Just pour it in my hand.
We are going to get to a number of things today, one of which... Someone subscribes to my theory about Taylor Swift in the NFL, that she is Thanos, that she runs this deal. I have audio proof. We're going to talk about it. The Lions have hired an offensive coordinator. We're going to talk about, okay, how did they get better? What is your faith in this? Where do you stand? We got the five stages of grief. We also want to open up with the following. I wanted to dedicate a couple of segments to the Pistons of all things. No, not because they got blown out last night. Cleveland's an elite, mature, veteran team. They're not in the same spot as the Pistons. Pistons have been marvelous in their turnaround. But what I want to do, David, do you have the quote? I'd like you to read it as if it were scripture. So get serious.
All right.
I want you to make sense of this. Now, the NBA trade deadline is in 8 or 9 days, February 6th, I believe.
Correct.
And Malik Beasley has been a really nice addition to this team as just a dead-eye shooter, a veteran, guy who can guard, nice role player. Do you know where he'd flourish? Well, he'd flourish on a championship team.
Right.
He'd be that bench guy. He'd be that's really what he was with Denver. But I want David to read this, and I want you to make sense of this.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Okay.
I swear to God, if I ever catch your ass in one of these videos at the track, it's over for you. All right. Too legit to quit.
Oh, all the right. 90s. Early 90s were great times, my friend.
Listen, David, I want you to read the quote from Malik Beasley, if you'd be so kind.
Yes, here's the quote from Malik Beasley. Me and Trajan Langdon have been talking a lot. We're trying to figure out what's going to happen. I still have to get through this trade deadline. There are some championship teams that want me, but I told Trajan I like where I'm at. He told me about the impact I've brought. Hopefully he agrees. He also told me it's a business. If a championship team comes with a crazy deal, the business is the business. We're just waiting for the deadline to go through. After that, I think we'll start talking about if maybe we can put something together.
I want you to make sense of that. What's your takeaway from that?
Sounds like, at least from Trajan, he's saying that, look, dude, I want to have you here. But I also realize if somebody's willing to pay me a king's ransom for you, I'm packing your bags and you're leaving.
Oh, no.
That's what I got from that.
Okay.
The business is the business.
Yeah, but the business, okay, this is good. I'm glad we have a little bit of a disagreement. This is positive. Isn't the business right now, we're done trading people for scraps? The business is Malik Beasley's 28, right, and he's unrestricted this summer, and he actually hasn't said, I'd rather die than play in Detroit.
Right.
He could shoot, clearly works with Cade. See, I'd actually ask the question, shouldn't this be the type of guy we sign? We don't trade.
And here's what I took from that is, yeah, I would love to have you here. You want to be here. But it was this quote right here. Mm-hmm. If a championship team comes with a crazy deal, the business is the business.
So what's a crazy deal in your mind? Jeez. I'm not quoting you.
I'm saying, like,
what's a deal where I call you up and I go, Rico, I got a good authority. Team X has offered this for Beasley. And you go, done, trade his ass.
I mean, this is one where you probably get some type of a role player plus a couple draft picks that they really feel like, you know what? They're in the F those picks type of stage. We need Beasley to beat the Celtics. We got to have him here. What do you want, Detroit? Okay. And that's where it's like, hey, Trajan, what do you want? You want draft picks? We got a ton of draft picks that we can never draft. You can have them.
I would love to know from you guys. And obviously, the Lions have taken up so much of the oxygen in the room. But the Pistons last year at this time had 4 or 5 wins. This year, they got like 24. The point is, at what point do you get off the treadmill? At what point do you start building? Now, I am not going to scream and yell. I have said if people are going to be made to care about the Pistons and invest in this, they got to make a trade. They have to be in the headlines. They have to add someone. They have to kind of shock people's systems. This is not the Pistons' fault, mind you. So nobody down at LCA be all butthurt. I don't blame you guys for nothing on this. You're just a victim of circumstance that the NFL runs everything, especially in this town. But the idea of selling Malik Beasley, there's no trade that could be offered realistically. What I don't want are people or Rico or David calling up and telling me, well, what if it's 3 first-round picks? Right. Ain't happening. There's no trade that could be offered that I'm accepting. Because the reality is you picked up a veteran. It worked. It's anti-Troy Weaver.
It is.
Remember all the veterans Troy Weaver would pick up and they would turn into cans of soup?
It is.
Okay, so Malik is a guy I want on a 4-year, $80 million deal, no?
Right, it is. But I think it's one of those where if somebody says, like think of like the Jack Flaherty trade for the Tigers.
Okay.
You wanted to keep him here. But the Dodgers were like, hey, well, how about these 2 top prospects we have? Ship them to us. We'll give you these 2 top prospects. And Trey Sweeney immediately got some playing time. And you're like, okay, maybe we have something to build. Did they want to get rid of him? No. But the Dodgers came forth and said, here's our number 8 and number 22 prospects. We'll give you that for him.
I still don't like it.
If somebody offers you a trade and says, hey, Trajan, we really need him. We're all right. Desperate.
David,
other than that, you absolutely want to keep him. But if a team is so desperate that they're like, man, I think we have a path to beating the Celtics. We got a path to winning the West, and he is the final piece of the puzzle, and I don't care about anything else, you got to take that call.
I'm going to say I got to keep the guy. This is good. It's a natural, organic disagreement. Zero talk pre-show about it. This works for me. It's not a blood war. But guys, here's what I need. You know what? Okay, you know, David often has these emotional needs, and he's like, you guys need to be nice to me today. I'm sensitive. Can we do one segment of non-Lion sports in this town, please? Can I get like 5 to 10 human beings that have an opinion on Malik Beasley in a metro area of over 4 million people? Can we do that? That's all I ask, because I don't want to trade Beasley. I don't want to take that phone call. I don't want to sell for the number 28 overall pick in 2026. I don't want to do it. If they've made this leap, Beasley's a part of the leap.
He absolutely
is. I want to keep him. And again, if he told me I'd rather throw myself off the Gordie Howe ass first and play in Detroit, that's different. Then you're like, I got to trade him.
But Here's the question we always say. Do you feel like this team's going to win an NBA championship?
No. No.
So if that's the case.
But can Beasley be a part of a team that does win one? Yes. Because he has been. Unless the dementia's setting in, he was a big part of the Nuggets run.
Fair.
So I just, look, 248-539-9797. Can you do this for me, people? Can we have one segment that doesn't involve Dan Campbell, kneecaps, or you guys being in your feelings about a team that lost 10 days ago? Can we do that? I give you the rest of the show, and you can have all your feelings. Can I have this? Help me help you. These comments bug me. I do not want to trade Malik Beasley. I want to sign Malik Beasley. 248-539-9797. David, I'll get to your commentary momentarily. We are up against it.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for.
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we'll get some ticket texts and then, yes, the callers. I just wanted to start with something that isn't Lions. And it irked me. I wondered where Rico was at with it. I think it's time the Pistons stop trading spinoffs and hoarding picks. Look, I understand they owe a pick. I understand they don't have a great war chest. But what I also understand is you haven't won a playoff game in 15 years, and you got a guy, Malik Beasley, who sounds like he's open to an extension. You know what I don't want to do? Trade that guy in the middle of one of the great turnarounds in NBA history. And I don't say that lightly. They were historically bad. They may end up winning 40 games this year. 42, 43 games. That is possible. That's on the table. Now, if you think I'm half an idiot for that, cool. But there's no deal. Now, you would have to present me something that is so unbelievable that the Pistons would be universally mocked for not doing it. Well, I have bad news. It's not happening for Malik Beasley. David, what do the ticket texts have to say? Both about me almost getting Rico, but also this.
Well, first one that comes through is can't touch this. That's Rico's cousin. but they are loving that you almost found him. Regarding the Pistons.
I didn't really realize this is what keeps him up at night.
I just want a link so you STFU about horse racing.
I'm just saying, man, if you want to go to Sarasota.
Shut your face, David.
Saratoga, Sarasota.
Regarding the Pistons, someone says, well, he gone. Pistons are going to be sellers, in my opinion. Shaking my head.
Let me say this once again. According to the quote says, if somebody offers that deal, business is business. That's the only way that I get rid of him. No, I'm not putting him out on the open market. Somebody would have to call Trajan Langdon and say, hey, seriously, I want this. And I want Trajan to hang up the phone. And I want the guy to call back and sweeten the deal. I want him to hang up the phone again. And if he keeps calling back and keeps sweetening the deal, eventually, like, as he told Malik B, business is business, man. I'm going to have to take that deal because your team is good. Your team will make the playoffs. but your team's not winning a championship right now. I understand he could be a part of that core, but you got to look to keep building if somebody's going to offer you a war chest.
See, there's the problem. I think that's a false premise. I think it's a straw man. Who the hell's offering a war chest for Malik Beasley?
I don't know.
You are
Mike, all it takes is one.
So define it clearly. Somebody offers you an unprotected first round pick in 2026. You doing it?
Depends on the team, yeah.
Well, by your standard, only be a team that's championship caliber team. I'm not doing that. The 26th, 28th, 29th pick in the draft, that doesn't mean anything to me.
But I'm talking about, you get that pick, and then they also throw in maybe a couple other pieces that...
All right, have them throw in Michael Jordan.
You could take... you could find one that actually turned into something.
Okay, let's see what the people have to say. I mean, we got people on both sides of the fence, I'm sure. We'll go to Charles, 97.1. Charles, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, how we doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Good. So, Mike, I definitely agree with you. I think we need to try to keep Beasley around as long as we can. He's easily the best free agent signing we've had on this team, and I don't even know how long. And I definitely think you have a good point with, you know, I don't think anybody's offering like a king's ransom for Malik Beasley. At best, like you said, probably unprotected first, which I don't think we trade him away for that. But yeah, I mean, he's shooting the lights out this season. And as somebody who has been complaining about the lack of spacing and lack of shooters we've had on this team for, you know, the past 4 or 5 years, it's definitely great to have a guy like him, on this team. So I think we got to try to keep him around as long as possible.
I understand, Rico's not wrong. It's just I don't think this is the player that will do it. And understand, look, Charles, in my world, I'd love them to be buyers. But I'm resigned to the fact they're probably not going to be. Because I look at the Tigers, the Pistons, and the Red Wings. It's one giant Spider-Man meme. Taking our time, wait for the kids, no urgency. I would love the Pistons to buy. I would love to move this thing forward.
So would I. Let me ask you something. Would you package Malik Beasley in a package for Booker if it were to possibly happen?
For Devin Booker?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd sell the Ambassador Bridge. Yeah. What, are you kidding me? Here, take the proprietary recipe for Faygo. Whatever you like. What do you need?
What about the Gordie Howe?
Take it. It's not even done yet. Take the whole damn thing. Whatever you want. Oh, God, Charles, everybody on the roster not named Cade would be available. What, are you kidding me? Oh, God, yeah. My problem with Devin Booker is the following. I always got to hear, it was always my dream to play for Michigan State. Really? You went to Kentucky. Oh, I love the D. Look at my little Detroit hat. Really? You never demanded to come here.
Okay. And honestly, if I was a Kentucky person, that would really bother me that he went to MSU, hung out with Izzo, and got them special Devin Booker shoes. Like, wait, what?
It bothered me that Izzo let him in the door. You didn't play here.
Right, like... You easily could have gone to MSU, but yeah, he went there and made it sound like I get LeBron. You never played college, so you could say Ohio State is my team, and if I ever went to college, it was going to be Ohio State.
Kevin Garnett, same deal, right? He always had an affinity for U of M. Right. I think one of his kids goes there. The point is, you went to, you had a chance. Like MSU, Devin, recruited you.
Like Devin, we all remember, you came off the bench at Kentucky. That was you.
God. Why is it the only person who was born in Detroit who ended up playing for the damn Pistons was stupid Josh Jackson?
Yeah.
Ugh. Sorry. But yes.
Kansas finest.
Okay. I'm leaving it alone because I know the backstory. We're gonna go to Gino, 97.1. Gino, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Mike?
How are you, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm not going to say I disagree with you, but I don't think you realize like trading Lane and what he's doing. So basically these championship teams are like capped out. They in the second apron basically.
Yep.
So they can't really do nothing, right? So let's just say, okay, somebody calls like the worst. And I know you probably saying like, well, they're not a championship. Let's just say they get Butler and then they want Beasley. So they say, okay, we'll give you Kuminga. We'll give you a future first. Now listen.
Okay, no. If I got that type of offer, no, I'm glad you called, Gino. You're presenting me something that if that was actually the offer. Yes.
That's a crazy deal.
That's an insane deal.
Now, look, secondly, you cannot re-sign a Beasley to a. You can't do that. You have to sign him in the summer. He's an unrestricted free agent with the new rules. So he's going to be an unrestricted free agent regardless.
Right, but
so
you lay the seeds to the contract. Now, I know what you're going to tell me. You trade him and then sign him this summer. Back. Is that what you're going to tell me?
Don't nobody had no money, Mike. Don't nobody had no money. The championship teams. We the only team that has money. We have $14 million right now. We're in the driver's seat. I don't think people realize.
All right, so let me answer this question. Because, Gino, we do end up in a place where we got to talk about winning, right?
Yes.
How are you going to feel if they deal him and miss out on the playoffs?
How am I going to feel?
Yeah.
So, let's just say we do deal him and we stick around that 9th and 10th seed, right?
Yeah.
And we still make the play-in. We still keep our pick. And like Houston, the league rewards us because Cade now is getting media attention. And they reward us and we get a top three pick just like Houston did. How would you feel then, Mike?
Oh, now listen. Sell me all that conspiracy. Oh, God, yeah. I mean, if I believe for a second the league cared about the Detroit Pistons, oh, hell, Gino, hell yeah. I'm just convinced after
How many times has K been on ESPN in the last 2 or 3 weeks?
Listen, people are starting to pay attention because you're winning. What I'm saying is I don't want to upset the apple cart. It's a good conversation.
But I like where Gino's coming from because you could go back and get him this summer. We're not going to win it all right now. So let's gather more pieces and I'll bring you back along with the pieces.
When has that ever happened, though?
If you really want him, you can
you
go back
had
and get him.
Landon. You had Troy Reaver, the idiot.
So now you're believing that you're going to trade a player away and then sign him back in the offseason. Oh, I've never seen that happen.
Hold on, though, David. I want to defend Gino. Hold on. I want to defend Gino on this. David, part of the conversation, if we approach it the way Gino is, in that quote, if Trajan and Malik, and more appropriately, Malik's representatives, come to an agreement, we want you. We want you back this summer. Do you want to go? Do you want to stay? If you empower the player and you come to a gentleman's agreement, then I would side with Gino on it. As long as I know I got him here for the long term.
Go to your new city, get an apartment, keep your house here.
See, I was dismissing that because I think that that's just crazy talk to
it's
me.
Not crazy.
To me.
The NBA is a soap opera.
If you've And it is one of those that it's one of
daytime
those.
Daytime or nighttime?
Daytime, the cheap ones.
Wow. You do it on a napkin. Hey, we're
1992, The Young and the Restless.
The Guiding Light.
That's Benito.
Right. Yeah, but that's right. Okay. When Rico attended the Florida Derby. Because I know he was there somewhere.
Maybe we didn't go to a derby in Florida.
I'm going to find him.
Maybe there were other races and you're just in the wrong
state. I'm working on it. It's not easy to trace horse races from 32 years ago with decent video. I'll find him. All right, we're going to get more of the calls, and we'll get more of the ticket text. This Malik Beasley quote, it's interesting. I want to keep him here. The Pistons are finally putting it together. You know what I don't want to do? Sell. But if you can tell me you're going to keep Malik regardless, and you get a little something, I'm not obtuse. Fine. I'll meet Rico in the middle on this. But they got to get off the treadmill. They're winning. Malik's been a big part of it. All right, let's get to the people. We got a little football to get to. Obviously, Lions. We're going to talk about the new coordinators, kind of where you guys are at. We got a stages of grief thing to get to as well, but we did. We opened the show. Malik Beasley, who's been a spark plug for the Pistons turnaround, openly talking about, Trajan and I have to sit down and talk. I got to survive this trade deadline. You know, I like it here. I like where I'm at. Trajan saying this is still a business. I just offered it up. I'm not trading the guy. Within the realm of realistic offers. Now, if something insane, as Rico puts it, come through, well, naturally, I won't be obtuse. But when you've gone 15 years without winning a playoff game, and you're in a position to maybe play in a 3-6 matchup, and I think you win a game, I think those are some important things. What I would compare it to is what the Lions did a couple years back, where keeping Aaron Rodgers out of the playoffs, winning in Lambeau, those were the bedrocks of bigger and better things. You have to... It's almost like erasing the embarrassment of your past. The Pistons have to begin deconstructing this brick wall of shame they've built.
Okay.
So I don't want to deal them.
Okay.
But I'm not going to be obtuse. I don't see a deal coming through. It's going to be, look, if they trade this guy and it's something where you and I look at each other and go, really? I think Piston fans reserve a right to be annoyed.
Yeah.
All seven of them.
Right. Right. And I don't think it is. I think it's one of those trades where you're like, wait, he was worth that much to that team?
Got to show me that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But other than that, no, I'm not going to deal with him. I'm not going to sit here and compare him to Scoobal, but I feel the same way when we're talking about the Scoobal trade this past summer. It's got to be a deal that you're like, okay, I'll take that deal. Other than that, move along. Nothing to see here.
Let's go to the people. Go to Evan, 97.1. Evan, what's going on, brother? How are you?
What's going on, bro?
How are you? What's up?
So, I'm doing great. So, if the right offer is offered, I think you've got to take it. I hear you guys talking about unprotected first. If you get offered any unprotected first, you take that in a heartbeat. In reality, you're going to get offered like 3 to 5 second round picks. And if you aren't, like, if you don't like that offer, that's what you're going to get. So you guys are getting your hopes up a lot.
By what? By saying I don't want to trade him?
No, people are saying Kuminga in a first.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Evan, all I was allowing Gino to do was if he wants to offer me that, I wasn't going to be obtuse or stupid about it and say, no, I wouldn't take it.
If you get offered that, you accept that immediately.
Oh, Harpy, you don't even call your owner.
What?
You don't even call the owner.
No,
I agree.
That is such an incredible offer. This is a one-year deal. If you look at the previous trade deadlines for one-year deals, they get offered like 5 second-round picks. And the way the NBA is now with the second apron, he's on a super valuable contract. So you're going to get a ton of offers. But with the second apron, you see teams get completely handicapped with it. And do you really want to handicap yourself with a Malik Beasley-type contract when you got to build a full contender around these young guys? You look at OKC, and you even look over
but
what
Evan,
you guys got to do.
Here's the problem. Now, see, hold on. This is where, again, I'm not busting your balls, but you're making a false equivalency here. OKC had 19 first-round picks. Okay,
and you can get some picks.
Yeah, but again, you just got done saying people are being unrealistic. You still owe a pick. The whole point I'm making to you, Ev, I'm only saying you're never going to be in a position that OKC was in. Therefore, do not compare yourself to OKC. They rebuilt. They tore it down. They got a gaggle of firsts. I think they had something like 19 first-round picks over a six-year span. You can't compare to that. You called up saying people are getting their hopes up. Yeah. You can't then pivot and tell me, well, here, look, you might get one pick here. Do you know what that would do? It would draw you back to even. You're never getting +3, +5, +7. So don't worry about OKC. That's impossible to emulate. What I'm going to tell you is that the current state of the NBA, $20 to $22 million a year, is replacement level for a starter in this league.
Yeah.
So when you talk about you can't bog yourself down, I'm going to ask you, if you don't like Beasley at that number, who the hell are you getting that's going to do what he's done and do it at age 28?
See, the thing with Beasley is I would hope that if this happens, if you did move him, and this, you go get him back. You like it here. We like you here. Go get a ring, and we're going to come back. Plain and simple. Unless the team that you go to falls in love with you and says, we're not going to let you go back. But yeah, it happens like that sometimes where it's like, you know what? I'm going to leave, and I'm going to go back. So what actually happened, I think it was going to happen to X, except for the Celtics end up liking him. So they kept him. He did not move his family to Boston with him.
Which one?
He only has one
family. I'm
kidding.
He just has all the, he had a lot of kids.
He only has one family.
I'm about to say, whoa, breaking news.
He has one family.
He's a very virile man. True or false, more kids than three-pointers at State.
No, he had more three-pointers.
Okay. Let's go to Tom, 97.1. Tommy, what's going on, brother? How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
So I'm in your camp, Mike. I'm a holder, and here's why. Because I think that with the development of Jaden Ivey's injury, where at first I thought season's down the tubes, and what we've seen is this system with Cade, it works better without Ivey. I think we know the future of this team and how to build around Cade, and I think Beasley's a part of that. I think summer is the big thing with the money, with free agency. That being said, I will throw one idea out there. Jimmy Buckets.
Oh, no.
I don't want him here, but he doesn't want to be in Miami. They suspended him. If there is some scenario
A three-way deal?
Something can be arranged with multiple teams in a trade where we could get what we want as part of that. I think that would be interesting.
All right,
otherwise,
thank God.
I'm holding on.
You scared the hell out of me. Thank God. You saved yourself right there. That was like an offensive rebound and a tip in by you. I thought you were advocating to bring that unholy bleep hole to this town. I went, oh, dear God, Tom, no. Sure.
I think Bam, though.
Well, you think? Yeah, in a heartbeat. Tom.
Where's Wilt?
Call Gores. Tell him to take $50 million out of the bank. I'll put it in a backpack. I'll make Jalen Duren wear it and ship him out of town for Bam. What are you kidding me? 100%. That's how trade should be done.
Money in a backpack?
Backpacks of cash. Strap it to some dead bodies. There you go. Give me your best player.
What's the local fast food joint?
What's in the box? I mean, don't worry about it.
Isn't that really what they happen when they say, we'll just keep the salary, you take the player, we'll pay the salary?
In essence, yeah. But no. Oh, by the way, Butler suspended again. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that. Third time. Pat Riley ain't messing around.
No, and Riles doesn't care. He's 100.
I mean, I don't know what happened, but the first time I think Riley was like, okay, we're going to keep family business inside the house. And now it's just like, I can do this all day.
What happened?
I am Pat freaking Riley, and I will just keep suspending you, and I will always be right because I'm Pat Riley.
Just look at Jimmy Butler's life. He's perpetually unhappy. He's perpetually aggrieved. He is perpetually the victim. He never admits to wrongdoing. Every situation, he is soiled. It's soiled with the Bulls. It's soiled with the T-Wolves. It's soiled with the Sixers. It's soiled now with Miami, which was his dream destination. It won't matter where he goes. They could trade him to play with the Space Jam All-Stars. He'll be pissed that Marvin the Martian got more minutes than him. It doesn't matter. I've told you for years, horrible guy. So, horrible.
So, Michael Valenti, GM.
Yeah.
Death, not an option.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler or Kyrie.
Oh, Jimmy.
You have to take one.
Oh, no, Jimmy Buckets.
Okay.
One guy's a bleep hole. The other is like intergalactic cancer.
Okay.
I'll take Buckets.
Okay. Okay.
Jesus, what a Sophie's choice that is. Okay. I understand it has been, I've been informed the Lions will not be in the Super Bowl. However, we still are going to do a few Super Bowl things between now and then. One of which is, here's all the money you're saving by not being there.com. Blitz time.
You know what, David? Before you get started, a possible future Super Bowl team next year in the New York Giants. Just want to let Mike know. Jalen Milroe's tearing it up the Senior Bowl, so.
Oh, whoa. What am I, Karnak? I told you this would happen. He's going to be Anthony Richardson 2.0.
Hey, you'll be a Giant.
Hooray!
And you'll be in the Super Bowl next year.
All right!
Let's have some fun.
Speaking of Super Bowl, Rico, let's get to it here because things are costing a little bit more this year. So I have prices on a lot of things. Let's start with the hotel prices. If you plan to go down there for the Super Bowl, maybe to just hang out. You don't have a ticket, but you need somewhere to stay.
What about all the rooms that the Lions fans just gave back?
Well, a local station down there, the NBC affiliate, actually went through and did some pricing for us. So they found that the average price for a room right now
Let's guess.
Go ahead.
Rico, do you have a guess?
The average price for a room for one night.
Yes.
I'm going to say $2,500.
$1,999.
Mike, you are closer. It is just over $1,000 per night.
That's way lower than I expected.
That is the average.
Then again, you know what? I underestimated. New Orleans is an event, convention city, tons of hotels.
Correct.
My bad. But yeah, we overshot that a little bit.
We did.
So the lowest price that has been spotted, what do you think the lowest price that has been spotted?
For a hotel?
Yes.
What, it's some like hooker shack?
I was about to say off Bourbon Street.
We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, this is like the Rico Beard Royal Palms Motel or something.
Off Bourbon Street.
I'll say $389.
I will go Price is Right. I'll go $400.
Mike, you went over. It's $540.
$540?
That's the lowest spotted right now. Now, I looked before the show, and all I can see was 3,000 and 3,000 range. So that's just me looking.
Yeah, I question this local hillbilly network.
Okay.
Let's keep moving.
All right. Let me give you this one because you talked about I'm not going to say what you said. And I'm also not going to name this hotel brand. I'm just going to say we'll leave the light on for you. They are going for $625 a night.
There is no scenario I want to see my team play this bad that I would do this
that,
stuff.
That is no. You know what that is? That is, we're just going to have fun. We need a place to put our luggage down.
That's right.
Take a shower.
Fun question: is Tom Beaudet a real person?
248.
All right,
maybe, but I think that's all. That's a place for your luggage, for a shower, and by the time we are get off of Bourbon Street, we'll finally have a place to sleep, and then we just get up and do it all over again.
So let's get to the ticket prices here. I have the ticket. I have the least expensive ticket on StubHub,
okay,
SeatGeek, and Ticketmaster.
Rico, you go first.
So I've gone first. Let's start StubHub.
I didn't realize it was that big of a disparity between the three.
Oh, it is.
Sure there is.
Yes.
All right.
Fees. StubHub, cheapest seat.
Yeah, the least expensive ticket to get in.
$1,200.
$999. No. Just over $4,400. That's on StubHub.
I was off by just a little bit.
Let's try SeatGeek.
$70 billion. Now,
it's not too far from StubHub.
So $5,000
is SeatGeek like a bougie StubHub? What's the hierarchy of secondary market?
Well, Ticketmaster would be, and we'll get to that last.
Started on them.
SeatGeek plus 40% fees.
Yeah, I don't even start because they handle all the horse racing stuff. I'd need a better deal going to the mafia
concerts. Yeah, you'd be better off just grabbing some equipment and being a roadie.
Is it a little over $4,900 for SeatGeek?
Oh my God.
And what? Ticketmaster add $1,000 to that. $59,000. Almost $6,000 is the least expensive on these sites.
I understand, believe me. But how would the Super Bowl be any less special watching it with your loved ones at home versus $12,000 on two horrific seats? In a dump of a stadium. The Superdome is
okay.
Poop.
Here's what I need you to do. Take out the fact of who you are, and let's just be objective for a second.
Okay.
Think about it, especially here. If it was the Lions, it's the experience. If it was Buffalo, it's the experience. So
go broke for it. Yeah, gotcha.
But the difference is...
If you're a Kansas City fan, you're there for the first three-peat ever. If you're a Philly fan, you're crazy.
They have said the demand has gone up 10% this year, probably because of the record they're trying to.
They're lying. Hit. They're all lying. It's all greedflation. None of this stuff is real. Asinine.
Well, if you're traveling from any city, from Kansas City to New Orleans or Philadelphia to New Orleans,
$2,500.
I have those prices for you. Southwest Airlines. From KC to New Orleans, round trip.
Round trip. Hold on. Round trip?
They give me a range here.
Round trip would be $1,400.
I'm going to go $1,999.
Well, they're pricing at around $500 to $800.
How? That's a steal.
Round trip?
That's a steal.
That's what it says.
Boy, you know what that is? That's Southwest wanting to get away with about four stops in between.
A Delta and American.
That trip will take you 23 hours where you could have just hopped in a car.
Rico's on that kayak matrix.
Right.
Bing, 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 bing. How am I in Salt Lake? Go ahead.
Delta and American.
Salt Lake to Seattle. Yeah.
It's going to cost you $750 in the main cabin, $3,000 in first class. Let's try Philadelphia to New Orleans, where you leave Friday and return Monday.
I don't care.
You're nearing about $1,000 for that trip, leaving Friday from Philly and getting to New Orleans and then leaving New Orleans on Monday. And then, of course, everyone has now added extra flights from either location.
Not bad, though I would say this, and I would have gave this advice to Detroiters had they gone. But, David, if you're one of those people when you fly and you like to play the game and, you know what, go ahead and bump me and give me some incentive to take my seat, after a major event is the best time to do that if you have no place to be. If you have time and you can, like, hang around in that city for an extra day, you can make a killing because they're going to run out of seats.
This is a lot like our Malik Beasley conversation earlier. Yeah. There is nothing you can offer me that would make me.
So what you're saying is fans from the losing team are ready to get home. Give them your seat. Okay, you collect money.
This actually happened. I was on a plane once. I'm going to make this quick. I was on a plane.
I don't care. I'm here till 6.
And they offered They were like, they were trying to get, they needed one more seat. So that the flight attendant kept saying, okay, $500 voucher, $600 voucher. She finally hit a $1,000 voucher and I was about to be sold. Before I could grab my bag, it was a woman jumped up out of her seat saying, I'm headed to Jamaica. As she danced down the aisle and gave up her seat. So yeah, I would have took that $1,000 voucher.
So if you're staying home, not flying, okay, not getting tickets.
This is the wheelhouse here. We're watching the Super Bowl on the couch.
Mm-hmm. So food and drinks for 10 people, including chips, guac, beer, chicken wings, cost about $139. That's 10 cents more than last year. Not bad.
That's not terrible.
10 people, $139. Not bad.
Now the chicken wings is going to be a problem.
Individually, the price of chicken wings have rose.
It's a huge
7.2% amid growing demand. Frozen shrimp is down 4%, though. But it's still 2.5 times more expensive than chicken wings.
Who needs Jerome Powell? We have David Hall.
Frozen shrimp? Really?
Yes, correct. Frozen pizza, that's down 3.7%. Okay.
Chicken wings are out of hand.
Yes, it is.
Do me a favor. Cut his mic for a second.
What you got?
I actually had a pretty good frozen pizza.
Over
the weekend. It was actually pretty good. And I said, honestly, it was like I bought it with sunglasses and a hat on for fear that Mike would see me. Like, what do you put it back? Put it back. Put it back.
Okay, good for you. Frozen pizza.
It was like this. It was, I guess, a local company. It's actually pretty good.
Are things that bad?
Like, no.
I feel like you're John in Wedding Crashers. Like, have you? I mean, what is going on with you?
I'm sitting here reading books.
And then just so everyone knows, beer and wine is up 2% this year. So expect to pay more when you go buy your food for the Super Bowl party. Yeah, but don't worry.
Lion fans are going to lock themselves in their bedroom. They're not even going to watch the game.
Correct.
This is all a money-saving measure.
They don't have to worry about chips and dip. They don't have to worry about anything.
So my biggest question for that, though.
What?
Do Lions fans get refunds on all the stuff that they pay for already?
Well, did you click the refundable button?
I hope you did.
As long as
you're that confident saying, I don't need that, pay that extra $200.
Well, no,
going.
The airfare, it tells you up front. So you just make the choice. Hotels, I think the policy is simple. As long as you cancel out a week prior, you're good.
But for like major events, it's like they try to hold you hostage.
2 weeks for the Super Bowl.
They try to hold you hostage.
That gives you enough time to cancel right at the when you lose. You would have lost before they
get a ticket.
You literally got to be on the phone at halftime.
And the tickets, you just got to go secondary market. You don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Those, there's no refund. That's if you got them. Who gets Super Bowl tickets?
Taylor Swift got tickets.
Because she runs the league.
And she will spend $3 million for a suite. That's what the prices are. So,
you
whatever.
Really think she's paying for that suite?
Well, Kelsey paid for it last year, so no, she's not.
Do you really think Kelsey paid for that suite?
Exactly. You know what's strange? It's like the ultimate full circle, like Lion King moment. Some people get so rich, they can afford everything and pay for nothing.
They pay for nothing.
It's like this weird twist of fate. Wait, you're so successful. Even though you could buy the team, we're not going to charge you for a Diet Coke or even the seat.
Right. Oh, no. That hot dog's on me. You go
on the house. Yeah. Courtesy of the Kansas City Chiefs.
It is wild. That is your Super Bowl blitz.